They said it coming up in about 15 minutes at 7:20, and we will go over what Lucas Giolito said after tossing that gem for the Boston Red Sox yesterday. They sweep the Astros. August begins with a bang and not in a disaster way as it has last few years. So I don't know if they figured something out. I don't know. We were concerned about what happens in the clubhouse when you do nothing at the deadline, as Craig Breslow did. And it seems like maybe these guys are going to, this August is going to be different for this ball club. So you could talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. By the way, good morning and hello to those who are up early and watching this show, which you can do on either YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is presented every day by Springer's Jewelers. If you are looking for a diamond, then go see my friends at Springer's. They are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they will teach you everything you need to know about buying a diamond, which is a lot, and then sell it to you for the best price at Springer's. But we have leads left this morning. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Just a big shout out to all the riders and the PMC that were able to finish yesterday down in P-Town. If you're not familiar with the Pan Mass Challenge, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has raised over $1 billion doing this since 1980, and they had a record year this year. They raised over $75 million just in 2025 from the riders that partake in this. Santo did an awesome job. His first time ever doing it. He's definitely sore this morning. But also a big shout out to the Flames.
Oh, what's going on with the bulge in that thing?
Well, I mean,
it's a bounce back for him.
Can you give us a warning?
Well, that was the biker shorts.
It's a bounce back.
Give
us there may be some children watching YouTube.
Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world
though.
Oh,
right. There you go. There's proof.
He killed it,
and it was awesome for him to join one of his best friends, Charlie Hale. His dad, JD, is the captain of the team Flames, where they have a ton of riders. So Santo was able to kind of join them and figure out the ropes with them. Now I want to say a big shout out. There were so many nice listeners that said things to Santo on both days at the different rest stops.
Nice things?
Very nice things.
Oh, I love it.
And I met two of them yesterday. Michael, I met at the finish line, and then I met Luke walking around P-Town. So that was awesome. But let me show you where they have these riders sleep, because they stop in Bourne and they sleep at Mass Maritime. This is where Santo slept on Saturday night.
Oh, very comfortable.
It's like under a table. They keep the lights on all night. So next year he said he needs to pack some type of like eye mask, something to put over his eyes. But it's unbelievable. He said it was the best experience ever. Everybody's just in such a great mood. And he said he can't believe how many people are on their front lawn. He said he didn't go more than a minute without somebody being on the street or somebody on their front lawn thanking all the riders for raising money and riding. So it's just it's very, very cool to see it, how many people partake in it and how many people support Dana-Farber.
Right. Oh, awesome.
It's an overnight event, so they have to.
So they start. It's almost 200 miles.
Oh, damn.
So it's 100 miles on Saturday. So he starts in Sturbridge. There's also a start in Wellesley, and then you ride 100 miles on Saturday, and then I want to say it's like 70-something or 80-something on Sunday.
And you finish in P-Town?
In P-Town. And Curtis always raves about P-Town. I haven't been to P-Town since I was a child. It's awesome. You are so right, Curtis. The people are so nice. There's so many cool places. We went to this restaurant called JD's. We were on the roof there. Great food, great drink. It was like, I got to go back and enjoy like a full weekend there.
Awesome. All right, Courtney, thank you.
Thank you.
Great lead. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So we kind of talked about this a little bit at the start of the show about the Red Sox and sweeping the Astros. And I think the biggest question that I have, and I don't know when we'll get it, and I guess maybe I'm asking the room on, like, when do we say, okay, is Lucas Giolito and Brian Bello, are they what we've seen them to be? Because in the last 30 days, Giolito's ERA has been 3.38 and Bello's been 2.67, you know, 2.67, which is
excellent. Last 30 days for both of them?
Last 30 days. So I guess the question maybe, you know, we're always asking is, this is this who these guys are? We've seen another performance from Giolito yesterday that was really, really good. And, you know, so did Breslow maybe with the decision of not getting the number two guy or not wanting to spend or not, whatever the situation is it because that they feel like this is who they are? And or and then
listen,
the other,
I agree with Curtis. Mm-hmm. Like, the more they win in August, which is different than it has been in the last couple of years, the more I would have liked to see them really invest and be and like sit there and be with a legit number two. Mm-hmm. When it comes to playoffs, because you're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. You are definitely a playoff team, and
the Yankees are imploding. Did you see that? The first base coach and Aaron Boone getting into it after one of their guys got doubled off of first. I mean, if you make a deal for Joe Ryan and you're sitting here today with Giolito as your third starter and Bayo as your fourth starter, you are the favorite to go to the World Series.
What if they feel like they might be able to, and this is why I'm looking at it, they feel like, all right, we could get more in the offseason for potentially guys that we're going to move on from. Mm-hmm. Get that, you know, number two. But who the hell knows? Maybe Giolito and Bayo have proven, like, all right, they can be number two. So if you go out and you get another legit arm, you could have a legit rotation of a true ace and Crochet three number twos.
You have to, I guess you're hoping and praying that mm-hmm. what these guys have shown you the last month is what they're going to be the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at, I mean, Curtis, you've been really, as a baseball team, they've been really successful against some good baseball teams. I mean, you swept the Dodgers, you swept the Astros, like you swept the Yankees.
Two out of three against the Dodgers.
Two out of three. You won the series. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but you were, like, I mean, you can be competitive. The mm-hmm. question just becomes, when you're there in October,
mm-hmm.
are we all sitting here and going, God, I wish they got that second legit arm.
What did Sam Kennedy say was wrong with their last several trade deadlines? I'll tell you. He said they middled it, and they can't middle it anymore. Well, this year they've traded Devers, and they've traded two prospects to get Matz and May. And to me, when they said, we will invest when we see ourselves as a legit contender. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And you can't say now that Breslow knew that they had a number two in Giolito when he told us that Ken Rosenthal was lying, that they did in fact go very hard after Joe Ryan.
So do we need like 60 days or 90 days where we go, okay, if they continue to pitch this way where you feel confident enough in that?
Well, there's not 90 days left.
All right. I guess 90. Days would be into the postseason.
When's the asteroid coming?
Yeah.
Now that's in 90 days.
And it's really the playoffs, Wiggs, mm-hmm. because the pitching is the most important thing, and you don't really know what someone is until they get there.
All right, Wiggy, great question from you. Thank you.
Got it.
I am often accused on this show by my millennial friends that I work with and the millennials who listen to this show and the Gen Zers who listen to this show of having an old head bias when mm-hmm. it comes to work ethic and to those generations. And so I wanted to share a little bit of a rant with regard to that very particular thing on the work ethic and the character of the younger generation, which I saw over the weekend from the West Virginia University head coach Rich Rodriguez, who's talking about the players that he gets
mm-hmm.
and how it can be difficult in today's society to get college football players to work hard. Shime, do you have a little bit of that we can share here this morning?
I think that's part of my responsibility to teach our guys this, and they got a long, successful life ahead of them. But not all is going to be strawberries and sunshine and roses and flowers. I told them they. And my dad was a coal miner. He worked in a coal mine. Had 1 week off a year, I think. Work all day in the coal mines, and you come home, you got stuff all over you, blah, and then go work in the garden for 4 hours. And as I got older as a kid, I was a little kid, we worked in the garden a little bit. And then the older I got, the more of a garden we did, and the bigger the garden got. I hated pulling weeds. I mean, I'd rather do anything than pull weeds. You ever pull weeds in a garden around beans? It's miserable, absolutely miserable. I mean, I would play every sport. I don't care. I mean, we didn't even have lacrosse. I'd lie and say, hey, I'm going to go play lacrosse or something, just so I could have. But I played every sport, so it wasn't to get out of the garden, but that was a side benefit. You know what I'm saying? You know, the people in this state, how they work. I mean, you've seen people, whether coal miners or, you know, anybody. I mean, it's not always easy. Our guys got it pretty good. Y'all been through this building? Have you seen how we eat? They got it pretty good. They live in a fantasy world. We live in a fantasy world. We want for nothing. You want food. You want medical help. We even got an ice cream machine. We just got it yesterday.
All right.
So, is that going to cut through with today's player, Wiggy? You were coaching them for a little bit.
No.
Brockton.
No. They don't care that you're...
You used to have to be out in the garden weeding.
Yeah. They don't care that your daddy worked 20 hours in a coal mine. They came home, tend to their garden for another 3 hours, and only got 1 hour of sleep and did it again.
Uh-huh.
For them, that is like... I don't know. That's like, you know, that's, you know, years and years of something that they have no clue.
How much of an adjustment, if any, do you think Bill Belichick has made when it comes to the way he's coaching college players?
A lot.
Do you think he has?
Yeah.
I don't know. I whenever I hear Bill Belichick, I just think about his mom, Mary Kay Cabot. Holy cow. This weekend was the greatest mic drop moment I have ever heard at a Hall of Fame induction. But yes, I think Bill's probably had to change his ways.
Yeah. You think so? And you think he's done that willingly or begrudgingly, Curtis?
Well, he has someone who would know how to relate to them.
Yeah.
With him every day.
And yeah. I think that's something that made him change even more, or like not relatable to these kids, but they probably looking all like your girlfriend's our age, so they're probably like looking at him like, oh, maybe he's cool for an old guy.
You guys, he's never going to be relatable to an 18-year-old. Like he is in his 70s. It's too big of an age gap, and that's fine. But he is cool to those guys.
For dating a 24-year-old, he's probably like, that's pretty cool.
But I disagree, because I think we've talked about this in the past, and you've said, I don't think any 18-year-old like cares that he's Bill Belichick, where I disagree with that. I think that a lot of them still look at that like, damn, he coached Tom Brady forever.
Well, I think they care in the sense that he might be able to help them get to the NFL. That's what college athletes.
But he's a legend.
College athletes care about one thing, especially in football. How can you help me get to the NFL? Billy O'Brien will tell us that, you know, that's what they have to do with their recruiting. There's no more recruiting. Come here, get a 4-year education, and you'll be able to walk away and this, that. I know Billy O says it about BC, but those kids are sitting down, and he's probably saying, here's how I can help you get to the NFL. Here's my connections. And I think the connection for, like, the cool, like, looking at Bill and saying, oh, he's pretty cool, is, yeah, he's a 70-year-old dating a 24-year-old. But I don't think, like, with Rich Rodriguez in West Virginia, I don't think that these kids look at that and can relate, because that's like ancient history.
And also, Wiggs, if I'm a kid on that roster, I'm saying, and you're making $8 million in Morgantown and I'm doing all the work, why are you bitching about our lunchroom? Why don't you share some of that wealth?
But I mean, isn't it a rags to riches story if you went from weeding the garden to making $8 million a year?
Well, my guess is a lot of the people that are playing there didn't come from Weston, Massachusetts. I mean, I feel like the players that are there are coming out of something that was deep with adversity.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Bill Belichick, game one on this radio station.
Yeah. And August, man. I cannot wait.
In a few weeks.
Yeah.
Which is great to say. All right, what? Sean?
Football being here is just a beautiful thing. That's
it really awesome. It really is. Are you going Friday night, Sean?
Not at the moment, no.
Oh, would you like to? I mean...
I mean, if you're offering, I'd love
to find a way to get you in quick down little... there. If you want to take a trip down, check out the Tom Brady night.
I mean, be careful. You've done this before, and then he's bailed. So.
Oh, is that true?
Well, that concert.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what did he bail on me?
You were supposed to go to a concert last year at Gillette.
We were?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yes, you were.
I know they went to a concert together.
I haven't gone to a concert. I haven't wanted to go to a concert at Gillette in years.
It was over a year ago. I'll find it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? I think Courtney's right, but I don't remember.
Was it Zach Bryan?
Nope.
Nope.
Wasn't Zach Bryan.
Swift?
I thought the last concert was it had to be like a Def Leppard or something, but then you go to that concert?
I went to that, yeah. I was at that at Fenway.
And Greg, this is a great idea because this is usually the one game we all get offered. It's the preseason game.
Right. So. Yeah. I will not go to a preseason game.
Team ever. Building. Huh?
I will never go to a preseason game.
Never?
No, because for what? You're not going to see the guys. You know, you're just going to see a bunch of no-namers, the third strings. It's like, if I'm going to...
Well, don't you want to be there? Your quarterback is getting a statue on Friday.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to be super quick.
I mean, did he send you an invite or anything?
No invite. But I feel like that'll be super quick, right?
I mean,
and
I feel like you should be a part of the statue. Like, it's 12 feet tall.
Yes,
but I feel like kind of on the side.
Uh huh.
Should be you, like, stepping out of, almost stepping out of bounds, catching a ball in the snow bowl. Like, I feel like that should be
a little bit
adjacent, like on the side.
Yeah. Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world,
though.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
I'll text Brady and see if there's a chance maybe he can make that happen.
That was a flex.
Well, no, I mean.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean,
do you think he'd respond?
Yeah, he will.
Wiggy, we've known each other how long, and now you're telling me you have his number? My God.
Sick brag, bro.
That is the Jones and Keith
brag. That is a sick brag, though. I feel like, you know, that's a pretty cool brag.
All right. They said it coming up. Then the news with Courtney at 7:45, and there has been an incident of incorrect to-go order rage, which led to violence in New Jersey. Years after the incident, apparently. So we'll get to that in the rest of the news at 7:45. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox sweep the Astros in their weekend series, leapfrogging the Yankees to take that number two spot in the AL East. Now they're just three games back from the Blue Jays. 6-1 was the final yesterday with Lucas Giolito going eight innings, giving up just a run on three hits while striking out four. The Royals now in town for the Sox. 7:10 first pitch tonight from Fenway with Brian Baio taking the mound. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Over to basketball, where Luka Doncic signed a three-year, $165 million contract extension that brings his salary through 2028-29 to $206.8 million with the Lakers. Pretty good. Into the Patriots, they had a little scrimmage on Friday night. Reports were that Drake May struggled a bit. Now it was blue versus white. Joining May on his blue team were receivers Diggs, Williams, Bourne, Chisholm, running back Ramondre Stevenson, and tight end Austin Hooper. Joshua Dobbs' white squad had receivers Douglas, Booty, Polk, Baker. They had running back Travion Henderson and tight end Hunter Henry. We're going to hear from Mike Vrabel this morning at 10 a.m. and practice is set for 10:15. And when we say we want to lose weight, we mean fat, not muscle. New studies show up to 40% of weight loss on the new meds is muscle, not fat. Keep your muscle, lose the fat with Awaken 180, awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. They said it. Coming up next.
Alex Cora on the Die Hard vibe at Fenway this weekend. Sweep of the Astros by the Red Sox, and you could talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Why is it the Astros, Curtis, who always figure out that there may be some sign stealing going on when they're here visiting?
Well, I think they know the guy that used to work for them as manager of the Red Sox.
Okay, I was wondering about
that. It'd be kind of like Mangini being with the Jets.
I was wondering about that.
Best way to catch a criminal is with a criminal.
Right.
508 text. Why won't you guys admit that the better deadline move was not to mess up the chemistry of this team? I don't know that anybody's refusing to admit that. I mean,
I think better point, David had called earlier and I saw we never got to him, and he was saying, do you really think one person would be able to win them a World Series?
And if it's Joe Ryan, yes.
Right. Do you think Josh Beckett brought the Red Sox a World Series in 07? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not so much Merrill Kelly or what. I just think that, listen, I think.
Do you win the World Series without Curt Schilling in 04?
Just saying.
I don't think Curt Schilling and Joe Ryan are on the same.
Well, but I'm saying, point is that one person can't change the team. That's factually inaccurate.
No, I think that fans wanted they wanted something
right.
On Friday and they or on Thursday and they didn't get it and so they were upset on Friday and I understand that. If this team continues to win series
right.
against teams like the Astros
right.
in August
right.
and they don't have the August collapse
right.
that they have had the last couple of years, then yes, I will say that Craig Breslow did the right thing by doing not so much.
Especially
and John of the Car, yes, Schilling was indeed traded to the Red Sox by the Arizona Diamondbacks on Thanksgiving in 2003.
Right. And
go get an internet.
Unless, you know, especially if Bayo and Giolito can keep up what they're doing, then I think it's like, okay, you know, maybe it looks at the end of the year, it looks better to then trade a guy like Jarren Duran. Maybe you get more for him. More teams are now in the market for him. So maybe you get a better pitcher than Joe Ryan. Because, I mean, like, I don't know much about Joe Ryan. He hasn't pitched much in the postseason. So who the hell knows what he would be, anyways, right?
Yeah.
But if they.
I think the issue with if you want to sit here this morning and say, what Craig Breslow did was intentionally not to screw with the chemistry. That's okay to say that. But that Craig Breslow never told you, like he had the opportunity on Friday to tell you that that's what he was
right.
doing. And he didn't say that.
He did quite the opposite.
He said, he said that they were out there trying to make deals and nobody was willing to take what they were offering. And
said to him that Ken Rosenthal reported that their attempt to acquire Joe Ryan was feeble at best.
Yes.
And he said, and I quote, I strongly disagree with that.
Right.
So if he thought it wasn't going to help, well, then you disagree with Breslow.
Yeah, correct. So, but you have to acknowledge
right.
that this team, at times, when they want to go out and win these games, there's a bunch of gamers on that squad over there, Curtis. A bunch of dirt dogs.
Right, and they're legit. They are legitimately right now in the hunt for first place in the AL East. So there's a chance that come the end of the season, they could win the division. And if they do that, I think then people probably, and if they do that, then that means Bayo and Giolito probably have continued on the pace that they're on.
Yeah.
And maybe he's like, well, see, I wasn't going to just give away everything for, you know, during like, you know, whether it be a rental or maybe I feel like I get a better package similar to Santos in the offseason.
He can't say that, though, because when he was on this show, he said he even had everybody that they said was off limits, you know, on the table.
Right.
So he was trying to make something happen.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe they wanted more, maybe Minnesota wanted more, and he wasn't
right, but
willing.
He thought it was a problem just like we did. He just failed at doing this job in getting the player here. He doesn't think that one player doesn't make a difference. He thinks the opposite.
No. I agree with that, but maybe he felt like what we were offering Minnesota, they wanted more than we were willing to give up. They didn't like the package that we were put together for them, and we weren't willing to do that. Maybe it was pot and pot, deep down, a little of a chemistry thing.
And last year, the Red Sox were 61-52. This year, they're 62-51. So I know it feels different, but the record at this point is almost identical. One game off.
All right. We're going to get to news coming up at 7:45. Hill Notes at 9:20 or thereabouts. And you have plenty of time to leave a voice note on any topic. Red Sox, Patriots, anything else on the Odyssey app. And if you have yet to download the Odyssey app, that is a place that you can listen to this show every single day at any time of the day or night. I met a guy yesterday, Courtney, little Odyssey app appreciation, who listens to the show every day, who went to high school and to college with you. Do you know who I might be talking about? Played football.
Oh, the Spinneys. His brother is Paul Spinney, but who was like closer to my age, who's a year younger. Mark Spinney was.
Mark.
Yes.
Great guy.
Yeah, very, very nice.
And so hello and thank you. Listening on the Odyssey app. You can listen on the Odyssey app. You can find us on the iHeart app. We are all over the place, wherever you normally listen on apps or on podcasts.
The Spinneys is what I majored in at Boston College.
All right, Shine, let's get to They Said It.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is brought to you by Catcher's Law, and they are honoring those who built this incredible city. So whether they drive or construct or care for others, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. What's up first this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, we have a couple Red Sox cuts to start here. First, let's go in chronological order here. Roman Anthony hit his first career walk-off home run on Friday night.
It was beautiful.
It was awesome, and we can hear from Roman about the walk-off and about the fans as well.
It's amazing. It's fun. I want to do it again already. It's exciting, but you know, credit to the fans. You know, every night, you know, they're so here. This place is just sold out every night. It makes it so fun to play in, and you know, they're there the entire game, whether it's 12 innings, whatever it is. But it's awesome.
I'm sorry, I said home run. It was a walk-off single to center field. Yeah, my fault.
I went to Walk Bullet on Saturday morning and to fetch myself a coffee, and didn't I see Roman Anthony right there bright and early, 9 a.m. Saturday morning? He was at the Blue Bottle.
Oh, great place.
I don't go. That's too expensive.
Oh, I love it there.
Huh?
I love it there.
No, I'm not paying like $12 for a coffee. Like,
it's
get
not
out of
$12.
Here. But seemed to have a very nice young lady with him and enjoying his time in the
Seaport. That's rude, what you just did right
what,
there.
What?
Well, because what? Who knows what's going
maybe
on.
Maybe he was a friend of his sister's or something. I have maybe. Absolutely right. No idea.
Maybe they were going to Tate and their friends.
Yeah. I have no idea.
It's early
maybe
morning.
Maybe his hitting instructor.
Oh, maybe.
All right, what's next?
A different kind of hitting. Let's go to...
Jeez.
What?
Nothing.
Well, the man, this guy's a man about town, as he should be. Mm. He's the king of the city.
He is.
What's next?
What did Bullet make of him?
Bullet was trying to find a place to poop. Let's be honest.
Well,
that's really all. That's all he cares about.
Did you pick up after him?
I always
okay.
do. Yeah.
Right.
Except when he has diarrhea.
Yeah. Bullet doesn't like anybody watching him, so we have to go like crawl right. into the bushes and stuff. Yeah. It's complicated.
Then you definitely don't pick it up.
No, I always do. Always do. Always.
He's got a designated area where you know people don't walk by.
Always do.
Well, let's fast forward from Friday to Sunday as the Red Sox swept the Houston Astros. Lucas Giolito threw a gem yesterday and talked after the game about how this team is not upset about no deadline acquisitions. Here was Lucas Giolito.
No, not at all. You know, when team has a need or a want, then, you know, try your best to get that at the deadline. But at the same time, within this clubhouse, we have belief in each other. We have belief in ourselves. No matter like how the deadline ended up, that we know we're a very good baseball team. We can win a lot of games.
Okay. I mean, we asked Craig Breslow about this very thing on Friday, and he said he had been on teams where nothing gets done deadline time, and the team kind of collapses. I think that's happened here. We've heard Alex Cora publicly. We heard Rafael Devers a few years ago publicly demand that they do something at the deadline, and then nothing happens, and then this team kind of fell apart in August. But maybe these guys are different.
Yeah.
Maybe they are different.
Well, he's going to be potted at them being different, because usually when they fall apart in the second half of the season, a lot of it is kind of comes down to their pitching. So him and Bale are going to have a lot to do with them not having that second half collapse.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Well, Greg, let's head over to football. Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Miami Dolphins. We actually talked about him a little bit earlier. Responded basically to the critiques of one Tyreek Hill on the offense. Here was Coach Mike McDaniel.
I thought it was genius reporting by Tyreek, seeing how we had a short yardage period that very day that you guys were in attendance for, and his suggestion was, I guess, congruent with Coach Stutesville. That's exactly how we repped the backs in that short yardage period that very day. But we thought it was funny that he reported the news that wasn't news on that practice day in that short yardage period that you guys were all there too for.
All right.
So
loves words like congruent.
Yeah. He is doing his best to try to manage that particular player, which right. I don't.
Well, I don't get. Did you hear what Tyreek Hill said? He was just like that. The kid, what's his name?
Devon Achane.
Devon Achane. He tells him, like, listen, you're not a between the tackles runner. So on third and short, maybe we put somebody else in who would be a little bit more specialized in that because you're more of an outside guy. And he was like, that's all I was really saying. I mean, yeah, I don't really.
I don't know what the odds are for the first coach fired, but I would bet on McDaniels.
Oh, he's got to be at the top of the list, Curtis.
I think so.
But don't you see that as being normal? Like, all right, why are we giving it to, like, for example, I don't know. It would be like, why are we giving the ball to James White on third and one when we have LeGarrette Blount?
Right, Pete Carroll just throws.
yeah, exactly. Why are we not giving it to Marshawn Lynch rather than throwing the football? And I think that's kind of what Tyreek Hill was saying about that short yardage period.
Which coach is higher on a daily basis, the Dolphins or ours?
Hey, listen, man.
Which would you?
He living life, man. I don't care what you say. Yeah. He don't care about nothing.
He doesn't.
All right. Yeah, he don't care about.
He doesn't care
about nothing.
All right. What's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, Curtis's favorite moment of the weekend was Mary Kay Cabot, and she had a great line about Bill Belichick in her talking about working as a reporter. The first coach she ever covered was Bill Belichick.
With the Browns,
correct. Yeah. Here was Mary Kay Cabot.
Bill Belichick was the first Browns coach I ever covered. You see, if you start out with Bill Belichick, no one can rattle you after that. If Bill didn't like something I wrote, he'd call and yell at me. If you asked a dumb question, he'd call you out. Eventually, I had to learn to stand up to him. During one of those yelling matches, I told him, if you don't have the footballs to say that to the guys, then don't say it to me. Bam. But now, I totally understand why Bill gave me such a hard time. I was 28 at the time. And he just couldn't relate to a woman that old.
Oh, jeez. Shot fired.
Why?
From out of nowhere.
Like, what's the purpose of that?
There's like no reason.
Well, you sound bitter. You sound like a bitter. I don't know how old she is, but you just sound like a bitter lady, a bitter person. Like,
and if I could say, like, I don't know how he was when he was with the Browns early on in his career, but I felt like he dealt with me the same way he dealt with everybody else besides Wiggy. But
yeah, I don't think she's saying necessarily as a female.
No, she did.
She did.
Well, she said that exact thing.
Right. But she's trying to make a joke.
If a man says that, we're sitting here crucifying him.
We are?
If a male reporter says that, we are sitting here crucifying.
She said, if you don't have the footballs to say that to a guy, then don't say it to a woman. And if, like, to me, Bill Belichick is tough and he's scary, and it was the most anxiety I've ever had in my life, but he made you want to be better, and that's how I took it. Like, it made you feel like you needed to come better prepared every time you dealt with him, and every time I ended speaking with him, I felt like it was such an accomplishment. And that could be a homer in me as well, like, I'm a Bill Belichick fan, so I wanted him to like me.
She gets away with it if it's an actual roast, and you know, maybe that, but like, A, you're not a comedian. B, it's not a roast. And you sound like just a bitter old lady who's like, oh my God, I was too old.
That was a pretty good line. Like, it was pretty funny. Yeah.
I was like, if I was there, I would have been like cringeworthy. Like, serious?
Wait, of course I'm bitter.
This is the only room in America that isn't laughing at that joke. Like, it's okay. We can mock Brady. He's had a million
But I didn't think it was like a joke.
Facelifts and like surgeries.
But that's one thing when it's warranted at a Brady
roast. If somebody's a douche to you and is treating you separately because you're a woman, and then now, wait, and you're in the Hall of Fame. This is your moment.
Yeah.
It's a great shot. God, it was awesome.
It's not your moment.
The delivery was perfect.
It's your moment. You should own the moment for yourself.
She
did.
She got the last laugh.
Not pull somebody down that is nowhere in sight. No one even brought him up. That just sound. If anybody else was to do that, and that wasn't a woman, if that was a man, we'd be like, focus on you, bro.
I'm still stuck on your response would have been cringeworthy.
Yeah, it wasn't that funny.
That's a joke.
Wiggy's turning into an up-talker.
Huh. Cringeworthy.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that funny. I'm like, really?
All right. We are going to take... That's it. That's mm-hmm. They said it. Yes.
I'm like, I wouldn't even know who the hell she was.
She's in the Hall of Fame.
Shime, what is They Said It?
I believe, Greg, we've summed it up. I want to say it's a back and forth on what they said this weekend or yesterday in the world of sports.
Is it quick? Is it a quick back and forth?
Oh, it is. You're right. It is a quick back and forth.
The news of Courtney is next.
Yesterday, the Republic Service employees voted to continue the trash strike that has lasted 5 weeks and have left 14 cities and towns struggling to remove trash from their streets.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so the trash collectors at Republic walked off the job on July 1st over negotiations on wages, health insurance, and other issues, and they are refusing to come back. We can hear from Gloucester City Councilor Jeff Worthley on NBC Boston.
I don't blame the workers at all. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar corporation, and these workers are getting paid the lowest compared to their competitors.
Just pay them, man. Right. Pay those people their money. If you ever been on the back of a trash truck doing that job, like, you know, kudos to them to get out there and deal with all, you know, people throw anything away.
Right. Pay that man his money.
And they don't throw it away properly either.
No, and then the fact, like, the whoever that was said that compared to the other trash companies, they're like one of the lowest. Like, you just pay them.
Yeah. Okay. And we have an irrational fear right here in Boston as a woman was bitten by a rat in the Fenway area on Friday night. This girl popped up on my TikTok For You page. It happened on Mountfort Street when Min Namong says she was walking to her car with her boyfriend and the rat got her leg.
Just out of the blue?
Yep. Just out of the blue.
An intentional bite? Yes. Or did she make contact with it by accident?
Seemed like it was an intentional bite.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
God.
She did go to Beth Israel, where the doctor gave her a tetanus and rabies shot. We can hear from Min on BZ.
I feel like a really sharp pain on my left feet, and I'm like, oh, God, what is this? I thought it was like a bunny. It was so big.
No flip-flops. We were walking, my wife and I, she hates the rats in the city. We were walking through the North End, and two of them scurried by, and I'm like, stop with the flip-flops just in case. You never know. These things
you can pry them off my feet, off my cold, dead feet. I'll never give up on the flip-flops. Never.
Even with the rats, huh?
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I don't think the rats are interested in Greg's feet.
Yeah. I actually have nice feet. I don't know if you've ever noticed them or not, Curtis, but... Yeah.
Well, self-esteem's never been a problem.
And he does give off a cheese odor sometimes.
What? I don't really give off a cheese.
How much
odor.
Cheese you eat? I wouldn't be shocked.
Really, but one of my better, when it comes to physical traits, usually people notice my butt first and then it's my feet.
Right. So, I always thought it was the wallet.
Yeah. And wallet could be. All right, what's next?
Speaking of irrational fears, a 6-year-old boy was hurt in Texas when an octopus grabbed his arm and wouldn't let go at the aquarium. Now,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a
no,
news
the
story.
Video is crazy. Okay, Mitch has the video.
I feel like this is a bag of cash attempt. Like, ow.
Oh, my God.
So the boy was at one of those touch tanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, look at the arm.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
thank you.
He was reaching into the touch tank. His mom says they do this all the time. They go to the specific aquarium, and they can touch all the different animals inside, and this octopus just took hold of him and wouldn't get off. An employee came over and said, oh, she's super playful today, but then couldn't get the octopus off of him. It took 3 employees total to wrestle the octopus off. Here's octopus biologist Meg Mindlin on NBC News.
All this suction motion, sometimes it will create hickeys. We call them octopus kisses, but they're bruises, and it's basically where red blood comes up to the surface of your skin. And she's not trying to be harmful in any manner.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Can't get no bag for that, though.
Well,
isn't it? No, if you're reaching in.
It's not supposed to eat your hand.
Right, like, but if you're reaching in to touch a animal, there's a chance that animal might bite you, might grab on you.
No, those touch tanks are supposed to be very safe. Those are for little kids to put their arms in.
Look at the size of that thing. Like, do you think they say to the octopus, hey, we're going to have some kids pet you today. Do your best to try not to, you know, grab on them or whatever. If you're letting your kid do that, there's a chance that the, you know, octopus might just grab onto you. Like, I don't get why people would be like, she can get a bag for that.
If you have an aquarium and there isn't a sign that says don't put your hands here and there are kids there, then it's on the aquarium to make sure you're protected.
Right.
But how I don't, you go to a petting zoo,
then the octopus shouldn't be in that tank.
Right.
Well, but it's an animal.
Right.
I'm confused.
No,
the
so
way
then
we're
don't
going.
Put
I'm
any
confused.
Animals in the tank. Well, but that that's may... just,
but if you reach your arm in there with an animal, whether you go to pat a dog, whether you go to give a goat a piece of bread, it doesn't matter. Like, there's a chance, because it's an animal, it might grab you, bite you, whatever. So but you're running that risk.
A lot of touch tanks I've ever
goated.
I've ever put my hands into have been like starfish and different stuff like that that yeah. would not hurt you.
Does James like the aquarium? Or have
he,
you not does, done it yet?
Does, oh, we ha- does the aquarium in Boston advertise?
don't.
I don't think,
I think
so.
Just,
I don't think so.
Yeah, not a huge fan.
Oh, you don't like it?
He liked it when he was really little, but
there's
better places to spend our money.
Mm, okay. All right. I understand that.
I mean, we should have the best aquarium in the world in Boston.
No, correct? Atlanta but does.
Atlanta does.
Atlanta's is awesome.
That Super Bowl party?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What's so great about
oh,
it?
It's huge. Oh, my God. The penguin exhibit in Atlanta is amazing. And the otters.
Oh, my God. It's so great.
No,
it's like the greatest penguin exhibit ever.
Greg, I'm telling you, I was stone cold sober, and I'm walking through that thing, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Really?
Yep. Oh, it is so cool.
Okay, we got to take a quick break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of today's news next, including an incident of incorrect to-go order rage, which led to violence in New Jersey.